Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Higher Raqi of the Quraysh, seated in the Haram Sharif, and they were discussing Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Utba ibn Rabi, he volunteered that let me go and discuss the whole matter with him, because this has gone too far. At the beginning, they tried to suppress it with some type of violence, boycotting, killing Hazrat Sumayya, torturing Hazrat Bilal. And with a lot of violence, they tried to suppress Islam. But now, people with might and main had accepted Islam. People that they couldn't touch. As Hamza radiallahu anhu, man of great influence and power. But Umar radiallahu anhu, they dared coming close to him. Then the philanthropist Usman Ghani radiallahu anhu, he had accepted Islam. So when they saw that people with might and main, influence and wealth have entered the fold of Islam, so they thought, now we need to re-strategize. We can't be suppressing them and we can't be oppressing them. So they suggested that let us do some negotiating with Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Utba ibn Rabi'a, he volunteered to go and speak to Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasul-e-Pak was also in the Haram at the time. So he addressed Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Oh Muhammad, you know you have a very high ranking position amongst us. And your family is most respected, family of nobility, status and influence. But the message that you have brought has created a division in our ranks. You have condemned our ancestral worship. You have condemned our ancestors. So let me make some propositions, proposals to you. If it is that you are in search of wealth, then we will accumulate all the wealth and make you the wealthiest person amongst all the Arabs. Be it in Makkah, Medina, Yemen, wherever, you'll become the wealthiest. And if it is that you are looking for some status and recognition, then we will make you our undisputed ruler. And if there's any other desire, then let us know, we'll make it available for you as well." So Rasul-e-Pak asked Utba, that "Is this all that you had to say?" He said, "Yes." So at the beginning, Islam was not noticeable, still growing. And now it's become strong and sturdy. So it's not easy just to eliminate. It's like a tree. كَذَرْءٍ أَخْرَجَ شَطَّهُ فَآزَرَهُ. You plant the seed. كَذَرْءٍ أَخْرَجَ شَطَّهُ فَآزَرَهُ. Then after a few days it becomes strong. It becomes thick. فَاسْتَوَى عَلَى سُوقِهِ. Then you can stand on its own. So now they realize that now this is a power, this is a might. And we cannot just eliminate this. So we have to re-strategize, use another plan, like the world. The first approach was, they would say, we're trying to wipe out terrorism. Until when they got caught out, right? They got caught out miserably with embarrassment for what they had done in Afghanistan. And they lost and they were defeated and they had to run out of Afghanistan with embarrassment. So that was the first step. That some of the structures of kufr had just collapsed. They couldn't come up, they couldn't stand up in the face of Islam. So they had to start to strategize again. But they didn't learn from their past mistake. Then they started with Syria, and Allah Ta'ala, with His grace and His fazl, he crushed them down at Syria as well, and all they expelled. Still they wouldn't learn the lesson, then they went on to Gaza, and Gaza also they were smashed down, and they had to leave in disgrace. And even if they had to boast about themselves, that boast also will be an embarrassment, because it will be like a man strong, very strong. Right? Mike Tyson, very strong, right? And he hit one small child, 2-year-old child, I bashed him and I smashed him. That's counted as an embarrassment. Where are you? And where are you smashing a small little child like this? So the superpower, America, supported with Israel, and they tried to smash this, and they had to run out. They had to move away and force some type of a ceasefire. So it was a real, real disgrace and embarrassment. So it's a reconnaissance of Islam coming up again, right? So it's coming up amidst bad weathers, a lot of stormy weathers. People are sacrificing, and people are beginning to understand and see the truth for themselves. What Allah Ta'ala appreciates and loves is humility and simplicity. Honesty, simplicity, and humility Allah Pak appreciates. But pride and arrogance, a boastful attitude, Allah Pak disgusts. So when the fire broke out in America, right, and then the damage it done was proportional to the damage that they had done to Gaza. But in just one day, and they were flattened. The homes of multi-millionaires, $35-40 million, equated in rands, $800 million, right? In one night, and wiped to the ground, right? And in the midst of all this, they are seeing what's going on, and those that are honest, they are saying, see, we are getting punished for what we have done to the people in Gaza. In that whole rush, you find a person like John Cena, who was a famous wrestler, right? Famous wrestler. And he would appear in all movies, etc. And now he was caught up, he was trapped in the fire himself. Imagine, he's trapped in the fire. So he tries to escape from the front entrance, and he sees the fire engulfing. From the back, again there's a fire that side. So he tries to reach the roof, perhaps some helicopter he can wave to and signal, but not working, until he hears the sound in the back of the house, "Come out quickly, we are here to save you, firemen." He says, "I was convinced that this was a miracle from God." And he vowed to Allah Ta'ala that, "I am coming a Muslim, because I understand that this is a punishment for what we have done to the people in Gaza." And true to his word, he went straight to the masjid, took his shahadat at the hands of the imam, and he says, "I'm a regular namazi. I'm performing all my five namaz. And one day I had to be in an urgent meeting, and I couldn't go to the masjid, but I made sure I made my wudu and performed my namaz there and then." But you see, it's a time, it's a reconnaissance, as you see Islam coming up again. Right? So when it's coming up again, then what's our duty? Our duty is now to show Islam in its true picture. Otherwise we'll be betraying Allah Ta'ala, betraying His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and betraying Islam as well, that we didn't show the true picture of Islam in our ways, in our interactions, in our businesses, in our dealings. Let it not be that people say that the Muslim is not the right person to be dealing with. We must say it the other way around, that the best person to be dealing with is a Muslim. He'll be true, he'll be honest, he'll be fair, and you want to see justice, you'll see it in the Muslim. Some 5 or 6 years ago, an American was working for his doctorate. So the whole topic that he had to work on was Islam, and he had to go right through the world to get some material, content, to be able to write the thesis. From one country to the other, until he reached up to Algeria, where he heard there was an old library. For his own research, what is Islam? He says, "I did the whole research, whatever they asked me, I did everything, but nothing moved me towards Islam. Nothing had turned me to Islam. until it was about just about a week or 2 weeks for my return back to America. And then I thought to myself, you know, there's a certain shoe that is available in Algeria. It's very comfortable for me. For my use, I find a lot of comfort in that shoe. So he said, I know about a big shop there. And I went up to the store manager or the boss. I offered to purchase the shoe. I said, no, I request that you purchase it from the person that's outside, the vendor. You purchase it from him. So the shoe is the same, and the price may be a slight difference, but I request you to buy it from him. This person that is writing his doctorate, he says, no, I insist that I want to buy it from you. So no, I persist that you must buy it from me. But why this persistence and insistence that you must buy it? So now, this is where that Islam comes out. The true colors of a Muslim, this is where people watch Islam here. So the boss says, the boss of the shoe shop, he says, you see, I've been noticing that my neighbor that's outside the shop, he hasn't been doing business for the day. He hasn't been, and it won't be right that I'm seeing so much of customers and he's not seeing a single customer. And then we are Muslims, we are supposed to be kind to our neighbors as well. Now in business, he's my neighbor. He's next door. And it's not at all fair that I'm doing the business, I'm just attracting clients to my shop while this person is suffering there. So like I would like business for myself, I must like for him what I like for myself. So that is the thing that really shook me up. I saw Islam in its true perspective. So this is what the world is wanting to see. They want to see Islam, but in its true picture. They have heard about Islam, and they have come to a certain level of realization that this is the truth. But we want to see Islam alive. Nonetheless, when Utbah ibn Rabi made these suggestions to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so Rasulullah said, answered him, that is that all that you have to say? Yes. So he recited the beginning verses of Surah Hamim Sajda until he came to the verse, فَإِنْ أَعْرَدُوا فَقُلْ أَنْذَرْتُكُمْ صَاعِقَةً مِثْلَ صَاعِقَةِ عَادٍ وَثَمُودَ. If you ignore this message, then I warn you of a punishment like the punishment that came to the previous nations, past nations, Ad, Samud, etc. How they were eliminated. But Rasulullah ﷺ recited, and it is Allah Ta'ala's word, and then the recitation is being rendered by Rasulullah ﷺ, then you can well imagine the dynamism in that recitation. Utbah was shaken up, he was really shaken up. And when he came across the verse, I warn you of the punishment similar to the punishment that came to the past nations. Utbah begging Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he put his hand on the mouth. Oh Muhammad, please now, have mercy on us, have mercy on your relatives. People of Makkah Mukarramah are your relatives. I can see now that the punishment is imminent. Anyway, Utbah returns to his people, and from the facial expressions they make out that this man is changed. He's not the Utbah that left. He's a different man altogether. He comes up and he says, you see, I know about poetry, I know about sorcery. This is not at all, it's nothing to do with poetry, it's nothing to do with sorcery, it's nothing to do with fortune telling. Lahu naba'un azim. Right? This thing is going to have a magnificent consequence. Not a simple consequence. Consequence of his recitation is going to be really magnificent. Then he says to his people, Ati'uni, just listen to me one day, right? Khallu Rajul fa'tazilu, leave him. Because lahu naba'un azim is going to show us something magnificent, something is going to happen just now. I know about these things, I've studied these things here, and I'm telling you that it's going to have a magnificent effect, so leave the person. Anyway, now we continue with the surah, right? So, there's about 5 themes in the surah. One magnificent theme, very, very outstanding theme, is قَيَّدْنَا لَهُمْ قُرَنَاءَ فَزَيَّنُوا لَهُمْ. That when a person chooses a certain path, right, So you can either choose the path of honesty, righteousness, virtue and truth. And you can either choose a path for immediate gratification, corrupt, indecent, haram, etc. So it's left to the individual. Hadaynahu najdain. Allah Ta'ala has given you the ability to choose the right and the ability, the choice to choose the wrong. But if we are closing our eyes to reality and we want to persist on the wrong, right, go on to the wrong path, then Allah Pak says, on the day of Qiyamah, when you will complain that these were our leaders, Adalluna, they had misguided us. So the leaders will also say, no, anahnu sadatnakum, anahnu sadatnakum, bal kuntum qawman mujrimin. Did we turn you off? No, we didn't turn you off. You preferred this path here. So you saw the path of the Anbiya, path of truth, decent, morals, honesty, akhlaq, right? And you saw this path of corruption, evil, indecency. You saw this. And you had the right to choose from this or that. And you went on that path. So you are to be blamed. So one is throwing the blame on the other. But the following and the leader, both are guilty. He led the path, and this person here, he saw the truth, but he preferred this. أَنَحْنُ صَدْنَاكُمْ عَلِهُ الْدَابَعَدْ إِسْجَاكُمْ بَلْ كُنْتُمْ قَوْمُ مُجْمِينَ. You saw what was right, and you saw what was wrong, and you preferred this. So the importance of this surah, or one of the themes, is the selection of your party, who you select, who you choose. The association is right, the thinking will be right, the behavior will be right, there will be direction in your life. And if the association is wrong, that as much as you would disgust them, but in time you would follow their ways, you would follow their thinking, and their direction would be your direction. Allah Ta'ala help us all.